Amen. Thank you, Mitchell guys, for that wonderful Mother's Day special. My mother's gentle love. Wow, that took a lot of bravery, Brent, to come right up here and sing with your daddy like that. He's kind of used to being up here, but if you're not regular up here, that can be a scary situation. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. Those of you that are live streaming, we plan to continue live stream on a regular basis, not to encourage you to stay at home and enjoy live streaming and not come to church, but to help those that are unable to get here for the services from time to time. That happens to some folks. And we've gone to quite a bit of expense and difficulty trying to set up the live stream, so we plan to go ahead and continue live streaming all of our services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night as well. And I don't know all about that, how it all works and how you access and everything. I know you can do it from the church's website, or you can do it from the church app. There are a couple of different approaches where you can access live stream, and also some that have been cataloged and stored and reserved. You'll know more about that as you check it out for yourself. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we begin with the 12th verse. 2 Chronicles 7, 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, would you help us in these moments together as we approach a subject that is so needy right now, this hour, and yet so personal and so appropriate for this time. And Lord, would you help us not to make excuses or erect barriers that would keep us from receiving the truth of your word this morning. And may we faithfully divide the word of truth, and may we be blessed beneficiaries for having been together in this service today. Bless those that are listening to my voice through live stream, and you know the individual situations and needs, all of us alike. So have your own way in our hearts during these moments together. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7, the most famous verse in the scripture concerning revival, is the 14th verse. This verse has been reverberating in my mind for 2 months about. And I've been praying about preaching from this passage. The Lord's been impressing upon me for weeks and weeks and weeks now. I've heard little echoes in my house from my wife and from different things where, for instance, yesterday we were attuned to a musical radio station that had a beautiful rendering of a song version of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name. And she said, there's our song again. And just little echoes of the Holy Spirit that you can hear sometimes coming out. But as we've come through this whole COVID-19 situation, I've heard many, many, many responses and many comments, and well, so have you. It's been the talk of the town, hasn't it? Talk of the world, so to speak. And you've heard people say all kinds of things. At a national level, I've heard people say things like this. We're going to fight this together. We're in this together, 6 feet apart. We're in this together, 6 feet apart. We're going to beat this. We're going to get over this. This is not going to get us. We're going to emerge stronger and better than ever. You've heard it, haven't you? It sounds like some things that were said around November or around September 11th of 2001, where some horrific things happened and things were said like this: we'll rebuild, they won't get the best of us, we'll be stronger and better than ever. However, back in 2001, there was a sizable introspection among certain people about thinking about serious things. In fact, at the community level, at the national level, there were signs and advertisements everywhere. Pray for our nation. Pray for this. Prayer. You heard about people praying all the time, didn't you? You haven't heard a whole lot about praying during this COVID-19 situation, have you? Not a lot. Well, we've had some, not a lot, but you've heard people that are angry because of restrictions that have been placed. And of course, we have a lot of self-proclaimed experts. Have you noticed that? Everybody's a self-proclaimed expert. Now, I have my opinions too. I do. Now, the difference between mine and yours, my opinion's right. No, that's what everybody thinks, right? Because everybody has an opinion about something that's going on. But one thing that I don't hear much of, and that's on the spiritual level, of really doing some spiritual soul searching about what in the world is going on. As I began at length to restudy this whole passage and the context of it, you know what it's about. It has to do with the dedication of the temple that Solomon built. God put it in the heart of his dad, David, to build a house of worship, a temple, and God said, nope, can't do it, but I'm going to let your son do it. And he blessed Solomon, allowed him to do it, and it was a grand temple. The description defies even our imagination at this vantage point, given as it is in the scripture. And there were sacrifices made, elaborate sacrifices. In fact, when they got everything ready and got the altar ready and the sacrifices were made and everything, the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed it. They didn't even have to light the fire. It was amazing, wasn't it? The glory of God consumed them. In fact, the previous verses relate for us in verse number 2, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When's the last time that happened in a church, where you went to church and the glory of God was so prevalent and filled the place, you couldn't even do what you're supposed to do? Well, that happened with Solomon. It was a wonderful, wonderful occasion. And then God responded from heaven. God answered Solomon. Solomon, from his heart and the best he knew how, had presented something of value and of lasting effect for the Lord's glory. And the Lord appears to Solomon and answers and gives him this answer. And we're boiling all of that down to just three verses this morning, 12, 13, and 14. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night. He said, I've heard thy prayer. I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now, I would like to approach the topic this morning of revival and of soul searching of God's people with the background of 2 Chronicles 7 and ask ourselves some basic questions. And there are some critics of using this passage and to say that's for Israel, that's for Solomon, that has nothing to do with the church. And yet it is probably the most prominent revival passage in all of God's Word. It does have something to do for us. It does have some spiritual principles that transcend the dedication of the temple, the Old Testament era, the dispensation of the law, and it has some indications that would definitely reflect upon us and our need right now. And we have every right and every privilege to avail ourselves of these truths from 2 Chronicles 7. Now, obviously, there are some details of this that did apply specifically to Israel. You know that. I know that. And faithful interpretation of God's Word will take all of that into consideration, and we'll come out at the right spot if we'll do that. I was intrigued by this. There is the word pestilence that is used in verse 13, just prior to 2 Chronicles 7:14. You see that? The word pestilence used a series of things. That is, drought, shutting up heaven, there's no rain, locust invasion, or pestilence among my people. And I got to looking at that, and the Lord said, if I shut up heaven, or if I command the locust, or if I send pestilence. Did you know that God deals with people? He deals with nations. He deals with groups of people. He does. Now, for us, there are dual applications here. He deals with us individually, but he also deals with nations. He holds nations responsible for their national acts, where they act together as a group. Now, that scares me to death when I think of America. Does it you? To think about some things that America is involved with right now, and God holds us responsible as a collective group. Now, there are people in this room that would not even think about some of the blasphemous, dastardly acts that are propagated by people in high spots in the United States government. You wouldn't even think about that, but we're part of this nation. And when this nation goes down, we're going to suffer too. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, it's like this. Some of you recently flown on an airplane. We've had people flying. And let's see, we got somebody, day after tomorrow, going to take a little airline trip. You know, I think about things when I fly in the airplane. Do you? Now, after all this, you'll really think about some things. I know you will. You'll think of the air filtration system in the cabin. You'll think about people that are riding with you in the cabin of that airplane, won't you? And you'll ask questions and you'll wonder. You know, I look out the wings and look out the windows and I see the wings move and see different pieces go up and down. I want to say, I wonder if they're going to fall off. Yes, this doesn't look good to me. And you ask questions. You think about things. You do. You know, I think about other things. You know, people say, well, you're safer on an airplane than you are driving on I-4. I say, amen to that. That's a given, you know, and you're safe flying an airplane, and then you hear people say, well, nobody's going to go until it's your time. I know that. The scripture says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, and I'm thinking, well, that's good. I'm not afraid of that, but what if it's the pilot's time today, and he's flying the plane? Well, I'm just kind of sharing some humorous things that I think from time to time, you know, as we fly. And, you know, we think about some of that stuff. We think about questions that we have. Well, getting back to the verse that contains that word pestilence. What is a pestilence? Now, it's not pesto sauce. It's not some Italian condiment. Pestilence. Even a modern English dictionary renders this definition for pestilence: a contagious, deadly disease. That's what pestilence is, a contagious, deadly disease. Would COVID-19 fit the category? Would it be along the lines of that, a contagious, deadly disease? Would it be? Well, sure it would. Sure it would. Along with a lot of other things as well. This is not the first pandemic that's been around, nor will it be the last. I don't say that to score any points with anybody or anything else. It's just the reality. Things come, things go, don't they? They do. They really do. But pestilence, a contagious, deadly disease. Of course, in Bible times, especially in the Old Testament, they only had the guidance that God had given them to go on, because they didn't really know a lot of stuff about germs and germology and things like that, other than what God had said in his word. And so there was a lot of fear that went with this matter of a pestilence, of a contagious, deadly disease. I've seen a lot of that today during this period of time, really have. I've seen people that are absolutely terrified. We have people still are not able to attend our service because of good reasons. We have others that are just afraid. They're fearful. They're frightened. Because of the nature of this pestilence. Well, it's unique that the word pestilence is used in close proximity to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we ask ourselves another question. Does God send these things? Does he send the drought? Does he send the locusts to consume the green plants? Does he send this deadly contagious disease? And the answer is obviously yes. Obviously yes. Now, the evil is not of God, but he uses things. Now, you see that consistently throughout the Word of God. God is not the author of sin or the author of evil, the author of things that are wrong, but he uses them. They're at his disposal. They're at his command. We see that clearly in the encounter that Job had, didn't we? None of that wicked, evil stuff was from God, but he allowed it to be used for a purpose in Job's life. And so it is in the account with Solomon, and so it is today. Now, the question further is asked, if God has dealt with people in groups, in nations, in the past, has he quit doing that? Did he stop? Well, if he's still God, he hasn't stopped. Now, everybody is real quick to tell what God's doing. Oh, God's judging that group or that nation or that person or whatever. He's doing this or that. Well, I don't know that. I'm not qualified to make that determination, nor you. But I am qualified to read the truth of God's Word and say, this is how God has done things in the past. We've seen him do that, and he's a just and holy God and a righteous God. He's a merciful and patient God, but there's an end of his patience sooner or later, isn't there? There is such a thing as crossing a line. There is, and God deals with people, with nations, with groups. And so we can receive that which is happening to us at the hand of God and say, Lord, we're at your disposal. Speak. Let us know what we're to do. Give us wisdom. Show us the way out of this. Now, what does the average person want when it comes through this? What do you want from COVID-19, from this experience? You just want things to go back to normal, right? You want your job back. You want your health back. You want your stores to open up again so you can go shopping, and you just want to put things back like they were, and you really want an easy way out is what you want. Well, because that's easy for us, isn't it? To want an easy way, an easy fix. That's what people have always wanted. That's what Israel wants. That's what they've always wanted. Oh, Lord, help us, help us. Okay, and he does, and what do? Go right back like they were. And that's it. Well, what we need to do as the church right now is to look at what's happening around us and say, God, what is there in this for us as a church? What is there for me as an individual? Now, we can't control what the whole world does or the whole state, can we? We have the illusion of voting privileges and having a say in our government, but it appears like that's sort of a flaky arrangement anymore, isn't it? It appears like it is. So there's not a great deal of faith and hope we can put in that. I still believe in voting and expressing what freedoms that we have left in America. But basically, it's going to be a question of what is there for me and what is there for mine. That is my family, my church, for us here. There is a pestilence. And it is sent by God, and it's designed to get us to stop and think and make some changes. Now, verse 14, obviously, is the change verse. If my people, which are called by my name, and who is that? Well, people called by his name. Specifically, it was Israel. But at the greater glance, it's any people called by his name. Is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ called by his name? Do we have rights and privileges equal to or exceeding that Israel had because of the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us? The answer is yes, we're his new covenant people. We're his people. It's for us to claim this promise. If we, his people, will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. Do you have any wicked ways? Do I have any wicked ways? Does our church have any wicked ways? Does our community, does our state, does our nation have any wicked ways? And the answer to all above is yes, we do. We do. And God's giving us an opportunity to do business with Him, to forsake that which is sinfully wrong, and to reconsider and re-examine that which, not necessarily wrong, but perhaps could be done differently. I think this is time possibly for a gospel reset. Now we're trying to do that in some smaller ways, such as sprucing up and cleaning up and remodeling and painting and doing some things that'll help us out. But think if we could spruce up our hearts a little bit. And we can. We can say, Lord, my heart sure needs sprucing up. And there's this and this and this that just needs hauling out to the trash. And God, by your grace, it's gone. And Lord, there are some fresh things that need to come into my life right now because of this opportunity just for examination of myself. And Lord, would you use this pestilence that we're encountering, and would you use it to clean me up and do just what needs to be done? Now, he makes some promises concerning that. If we'll turn from our wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, he said he would do that. He said, if you'll do that, I'll do this. So we talked in Sunday school this morning in the 9:45 hour about conditional promises, conditional covenants, where God says, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. Now, there are some that are unconditional where God just says, I want to do this and regardless of anything else. But there are many, many things that are conditional. This is one of them. I asked from the audience, from the congregation this morning in the Sunday school class for people to give examples, and I had several of you gave good examples. I was waiting to see if somebody would hit 2 Chronicles 7:14 because it's a conditional covenant. It's a conditional promise. God said, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. But if you won't do that, then I won't do this. If you don't turn from your wicked ways, and if you don't seek my face, and if you don't pray, if you don't humble yourselves, then I'm not going to hear from heaven and heal your land and forgive your sin. I'm not going to. But if you will, then I'll do that. Did you know that his promise is still true, still good? I don't know what God's got in store for you individually. I don't know what he has for me, for us collectively. I think we will know as time goes on. I have, again, my opinions about things. I think we're headed for some tricky times economically that's going to impact us. You say, well, so far so good. Well, I know that. I know so far so good, but I'm just looking at the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that's being pulled out of thin air, maybe from somewhere, and passed out. Can that go on forever? And the answer is obviously not. There has to be an end to that somehow, some way, and I think it's probably going to end in some hard times. Somebody says, well, gas prices are lower than ever. I know that, and I'm thankful for that too. But I'm still convinced that sooner or later, our sin's going to catch up with us, and we're going to pay a price. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm not generally a pessimistic person, but I look at things. In other words, I can't run my family's finances like the government does. You can't either. You can't do it because we have certain constraints placed upon us. In other words, somebody's got this funny idea about paying bills. You ever notice that? It happens every time I go in Winn-Dixie. They tell me how much I owe before I check out. They say a dollar amount, a penny amount. This is it. I've got to pay my bill before I can go out. Now, suppose I would consider that to be optional. Say, well, I'll catch up with you next time. And go out with a whole shopping cart load of groceries. How far across the parking lot do you think I'd make it? Probably not very far. Probably not very far. They would send someone with a visual reminder that I owe them and that I'm actually committing, well, based on grocery prices, maybe a felony now. Misdemeanor used to be, but probably over $500 now, I guess, with a grocery shopping cart full. But you know, despite all of this, we have a God that's able. We have a God that's gentle and merciful. And I thank God for His blessings on you individually and us collectively as a church. And I want to receive something new and vital and rejuvenating from the Lord during these times. I do. I do. And I think we should take this verse and we should pray this verse and we should meditate on this verse. And we should say, Lord, just show me, Lord, anything. Lord, I'm part of this group, and I certainly want to not stand in the way of your blessing and your forgiveness and your empowering. And just remember that God does hold groups responsible. I think He's going to hold our church, as a group, responsible for our stewardship of what we do right here with the money that we have to spend, with the gifts that we give to missionaries, with what we do with facilities. Sir, He's holding us responsible for that, and we need to be good stewards for that. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and what a wonderful revival verse it is, and what a wonderful time during this time of pestilence to do some real honest soul searching. Now, that's not a very glamorous Mother's Day message. I know that. What would we like to have for a Mother's Day message? Oh, just pure sweetness, right? Just sweet, 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 sweet. What lovely mothers. What a godly heritage we have. And I'm not mocking that. I think this would be a mother's heart. Don't you? You know, godly mothers have a heart to care for their own and for their own to be right. How many mothers' prayers have kept a wayward youngin' from really going astray because of a mother's love for God and a mother's wanting to do right? I thank God for my mother and for what I said about her a few moments ago about my love for good godly music and for what she gave me there. But I never, ever doubted that Mom lost track of that truth of great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. She lived it, she knew it, she loved it, and she passed it on. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for you mothers that are here. Now, we're kind of short on our mothers and our family now. So I got my mother-in-law, which is my only mother I got left. And we have my wife, my special mother of our children, and our little mothers, daughters, and daughters-in-laws that we love and cherish and respect so much, and so do you. Well, on this special Mother's Day, let's remember that this message is not at all out of line with that which mothers would have from the heart, that is, godly mothers for their children. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. We'll get ready for our invitation in just a moment. It's a message that God laid on my heart for the first Sunday that we came back together on Mother's Day. Thank you for being here, and thank you for paying good attention as we listen to God's Word. Father in heaven, would you help now as we come to the time of decision? Lord, if there are indeed decisions that ought to be made, some of them even publicly this morning, would you undertake on behalf of those that are candidates for that? Father, would you help us to soul search during these days so we'll come up on the leading edge of exactly where you'd have us to be? We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.